Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host of the week, Anthony Wood, and with me today is the also recognisable voice of ESPN 97.5, Abdul Foster. Abdul, thank you very much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Man, I'm great. Glad to be on with you, man.
Thanks very much for coming on, and well, let's kick off straight away with the first victory of the season for the Texans. Obviously, came last weekend against the Jags, 13-12. Not exactly the biggest of victories, but it's a strange one, because it's not often that we come out of a victory feeling almost like we've lost, but that's the impression I certainly got from that final score and from some of that performance as well. I mean, do you agree, or did you see otherwise?
No, I would say that you're pretty on point with that one. Don't get me wrong. In the NFL, you take any win that you can. But it was very clear the deficiencies that the Texans kind of have in certain areas to boot. You know, the ones that we kind of all have continued to discuss over time. So I definitely feel like, yeah, if you win, you take it. But it did kind of come off as a loss.
It certainly did. And how did you feel about, they had quite a few lineup changes from week one to two. So Aaron Colvin was out, so Lonnie Johnson came in the secondary, and then you had Titus Howard and Roderick Johnson coming on the offensive line. I mean, what were your thoughts on these changes?
Well, specifically on the backfield, defensive backfield, I think Lonnie Johnson is who we kind of knew he was. He's not your number one lockdown corner. He's done a good job. He'll come up and secure some tackles from time to time. He's going to need some work. Obviously, he's a rookie. He can play in that defense that Romeo, puts out there. I want to see him get some more work in. I never like to talk bad about guys, but I want to see him get some more work in and kind of see what he can do, give him some opportunities and coach up properly. With regards to the offensive line, I think on 97.5, we kind of been screaming for the last, even into the preseason, we were talking about Roger Johnson coming in and taking over for Central Henderson, and we all kind of been saying, I think we were talking about it when you were there.
I think we were, yes.
Yeah, we were talking about the offensive line and the way that Roger Johnson was playing and how he should have been the right tackle starter. So, it was good to kind of see him get in there and get some play.
And do you think, obviously, I know that the Texans still had a problem with sacks and pressures at this last performance despite the changes, but do you think, if anything, it was these changes that had a lot to do with that? The players themselves aren't necessarily the problem, but there's been so much sort of change up in that line recently that there's not a lot of cohesion going on. Do you think that's got anything to do with it, or it is ultimately the quality of the players?
Again, I've said this from day one, from day one from the season starting, talking about preseason, that the offensive line is the hardest unit to get to work together. Because there's so much involved in being an offensive lineman. Again, you kind of have to be able to spot out the mic with, thousands of screaming fans in the stands sometimes and lack of communication. You got to be able to know what your center is going to do. Your guards and tackles got to know what each other is going to do. They all have to be able to point out who the center point guy is. They all have to be able to know how they're going to adjust if they need to adjust. They got to go inside out if one guy's ISO'd. It takes a minute to kind of get working together. And the easiest way to help your offensive line in that position is to run the ball, because it's easier. You don't want to say it's easy, but it's easier at that point versus spotting out disguised coverages or disguised, picks or screens coming off from the defensive lineman. It's easier to just run the football. And when, at the time they didn't necessarily have a secure backfield, but now that they're showing signs that they can run the football, it should help the offensive line a little bit more. But it definitely takes a while for the line to get together.
Thanks very much. That actually works as a perfect segue to my next question. I was going to say, given all your experience, obviously training alongside your brother for the Texans, obviously I think it's safe to say that you know just a little bit about running backs at this point in time. So how do you feel about Johnson and Hyde so far?
I like the mix. They've been playing well. There's a pro and con to it. The con, I'll start there, is because they're playing so well, teams are obviously going to pay attention to it more at this point. The year before, the year prior. Well, it was pretty clear today that, Hopkins and Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller and those guys being out there, out wide, were your main threats, your main targets. So it kind of gives your defense the mindset to think, okay, well, let me defend the pass. Let me defend the screens and slants. They got some speed back there. Let me get back in this deep third. That's kind of how you go about you know, scheming for an offense on the defensive side of the football. So it kind of leaves some room for your running game to get going. And that's the, you know, that's the con side of it is, you know, you never really know what you're up against if you, you know, in the first two games. But now that they have established the run, the pro side of it is now that they have established the run, the defense has an opportunity to really take a look at what they can do. But it's good for the offense because it gets them going, gets some confidence to the offensive line, obviously get some confidence to the running backs, get some confidence to your quarterback because your quarterback doesn't have all that pressure on him. You know, so there's some pros and cons to it.
And from what I've seen so far, the way I've looked at it is that Carlos Hyde has really settled in very quickly, and he's very much an O'Brien back, that sort of power style. That's really what O'Brien loves to see in backs. For me, at least, they haven't really gotten the best out of Duke Johnson yet that they could, and I hope they will. Do you feel that they've found a good way to use both of them, or do you think perhaps there's still room for improvement there and room for O'Brien to figure out how to use both these guys better?
There's always room for improvement, but from what I've seen up to this point, you pretty much got it sewed up, you know, on what you want to do with them, first and second down. You know, Hyde needs to be in there. Duke Johnson needs to be receiving back. You know, from what I've seen, he's decent enough in the block game up to this point. So, you know, you can trust him on third downs. You know, Carlos Hyde, I actually liked him. He was kind of one of my favorite running backs at the time coming out when he did. And when I saw him over at San Francisco, he did fairly well. Not sure the systems and the situations that he was in prior, but I like the way he's running right now. And from what he said, he's running with a chip on his shoulder. You know, he's pretty aggressive in his approach. And that's what you need as a running back. Sometimes you kind of have to run like that to be able to set the tone. And it gives you an opportunity to set the tone with defenses that, hey, I'm going to run the football. But then it gives you opportunity afterwards to be able to make some moves if you need to in the secondary. You know, once you get to that second level, you're kind of able to show some flash a little bit. So I like the way he's running. Again, Duke Johnson's a threat out of the backfield. He's running pretty well. I saw some outside zone plays from him that I did like. But, you know, overall, they're doing well again, which kind of gives confidence to your whole offense if you can continue that.
And then sticking with the offense, how have you felt that Deshaun Watson's performed, specifically on Sunday? Obviously, we've had a good week now to look and mull over that performance in New Orleans. But Jacksonville, how do you feel he did against them?
You know, the one thing that I've always liked about Deshaun is he's a winner, you know, and he's going to do his best and try to find ways to win. He's a lot like Tim Tebow in that regard, where, you know, Tim Tebow didn't have all the skill set. Not saying Deshaun does, he totally does, but he's a winner. He's going to try to find ways to win. He's going to round behind his team, do whatever he can. You know, he wasn't perfect given the pressure that he had. You know, I think we all want a quarterback to be able to sit back there for 4 to 5 seconds and, you know, pick apart a defense. But, you know, given the circumstances with the offensive line and the shifting that they've had and lack of cohesion, you know, he didn't disappoint me. You know, he's just kind of under some circumstances that we kind of have to, you know, kind of give him some credit for.
And do you think, obviously you mentioned the lack of time in the pocket, do you think there have at least been some improvement, or that there have been players or moments where we've seen moments of what this line could become, of what they could achieve over the coming months? And is there room for positivity?
Absolutely, no question. You know, let's be honest. From what I've seen up to this point, Laremy Tunsil is definitely one of the top five offensive tackles in the league. So he plays his part. Again, it's just kind of getting all that cohesion. Getting Zach Fulton going, if that's what you need to do. You know, obviously Roger Johnson on the other side. You got to get all those guys to mesh. Titus Howard, if he comes back, you know, playing guard, that's going to be important as well. So, you know, it's just getting everybody on the same page. Nick Martin, I apologize. I think I said the wrong guy. But, you know, it's getting everybody on the same page, and that will help Deshaun. But he's shown flashes. Again, he's going to be that guy. If I was his agent, I would be screaming to try to find ways to start negotiating. You know, he'd be special, and he will continue to be.
Absolutely, and personally, one player who's somewhat surprised me on this offensive line in the last couple of games is Nick Martin. I mean, you mentioned him there. He was someone I was extremely critical of coming into the season. He looked terrible from what I'd seen in preseason, that one appearance he had, but To be fair to him, the last couple of games, especially against the Jags, I thought he did quite a good job, actually. A couple of double blocks there, which turned out really well. So I think he's improved somewhat, at least. And yeah, I mean, this offense, we've talked about it a little bit, obviously the amount of weapons they've got coming out the backfield. You mentioned the wide receivers they've got as well, especially with Kenny Stills in there as well now and Kiki Coutee back from injury. Do you think they've figured out how to get the best out of all of these weapons so far, or is it still going to be a bit of a learning process?
It's definitely going to be a learning process. You know, I speculate. I always like to give my offensive line, for one, if they're new, I always like to give them to like game five, game six to really mesh. You know, so it's good that they got them all together at this point. You know, with the quarterbacking receivers, just because like Kiki came back, obviously. You know, Kenny Stills has been a phenomenal addition up to this point. You know, Hop's going to be Hop. He's going to do what he does. And, you know, you got Will on the other side who can top, you know, pop the top off. I think Deshaun feels a lot more comfortable. I will give him that. And now it's just going to kind of see how everybody plays and what position that they can play, you know, on specific downs and distances. You know, is Will the guy you want to go to? Do you want to go to D-Hop in certain instances? You know, do you want to try to get Kiki on some you know, some quick bubble screens? You know, you just have to decide and figure out where your wide receivers are suited best. And even at that, how your running backs are going to play in certain positions. So it's going to take a while for this offense to mesh and merge. You know, it's a little easier for defensive side of the ball because it's really just, you know, they go get ball, see ball, go get it. You know, on the offensive side of the ball, it's a little more, it's a little more of a finesse game. So it's going to take some time. And hopefully it doesn't take too long because we obviously want them all to be successful as possible, but you know, it's kind of up in the air right now.
Absolutely. And moving on to this week, obviously the Texans face the Chargers this weekend. Who do you think out of the two teams will come into it feeling the more confident?
You know, I like the receivers that are with the Chargers right now. I think going into the game the Texans have a little more confidence, just because I think they have more weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Now, defense is, you know, has some stuff to be desired, but, you know, I genuinely do think that, you know, Whitney Mercilus is playing phenomenal ball right now.
Yeah, he is.
The move that I had, that I saw him perform on, I think it was, may have been the strip sack or just the QB hit, if I'm not mistaken, was beautiful. You know, he's playing in this position that he likes to play in right now. You know, JJ will continue to kind of give pressure on the other side of the ball. Like I said, Lonnie in the back. It was a beautiful tackle that Justin Reed had, you know, at the goal line. You can always count on that. That gives your defense some confidence, you know, when you can stop the run, you know. Anytime you stop the run, whether it's goal line, fourth and one, fourth and inches, whatever, that gives your defense some confidence. Like, hey, guys, we can do this. We can make it happen. So I feel like the Texans are going to go into the next game feeling a lot more confident than the Chargers will.
It was interesting. I spoke to Whitney yesterday, actually, about that last performance in particular, and he said that he feels like a lot of people have forgotten that he has proven in the past that he can perform and he can record all these sort of stats and numbers. And he said that he feels like the public perhaps need to be, or some of the public at least, need to be reminded somewhat. So it was interesting to hear that from him yesterday. And but he seems extremely confident, and it's great to see him back to his best. And obviously, something else that we're going to have to keep a close eye on this week, obviously, especially against the Chargers, is with Rivers on offense. He's got, obviously, we've mentioned some of the weapons they've got: Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Ekeler as well. Do you think, starting off with the wide receivers, do you think the Texans' cornerbacks are going to be able to keep track of the likes of Allen and Williams? Because they're tough. They're tough players to go up against.
You know, that's a good question. You know, I was kind of concerned about Michael Thomas against the Saints. Obviously, you know, Texans didn't do terrible there, but. You know, because he's one of the best receivers in the league. Allen, no wrong, is obviously up there as well. So is Williams. But I think that it's going to come down to the way that you scheme it. You know, their running game isn't the best right now, obviously, with the, you know, with the running back holding out like he is. you know, so it's going to be a test for him. You know, I never like to talk down on NFL guys because they're in the NFL. But, you know, hopefully they can figure it out in the scheme department. That's ultimately what's going
to... Sorry, could you just repeat that last bit? Sorry, the signal broke up a bit.
Yeah, I apologize. I said it's essentially going to come down to how you scheme these guys, mainly because, you know, of your young defensive back with Lonnie back there, obviously. You know, he's, again, we've mentioned this before, he's not your number one cover guy, you know. But Justin Reed is playing well so far up to this point, you know, as far as coming down in the box. So it's the test for the defensive backfield. But, you know, I'm optimistic. We'll say it like that. I never like talking down on NFL guys, but I'm optimistic.
So switching defenses here, how do you feel about the Texans O-line heading into this game against that? What has the potential to be a very, very good Chargers defense?
They're going to have their challenges. You know, if I'm not mistaken, you know, Joey Bosa can serve some, you know, he can be a menace on the other side of the ball. you know, so they got their work cut out for him, you know. But again, I think that if you put your foot down and run the football, you know, and decide to, you know, use Hyde the way that you can, get Duke Johnson out of the backfield, and even run some slip screens here and just keep that box honest, I think that they'll have some success. You know, Deshaun Watson's always a threat to run the ball out of the, you know, like a play-action pass boot. It's something you can always do with Deshaun, even though, you know, he does like to run the ball and doesn't slide. But, you know, I think that they're going to have the work cut out for him. But if they can scheme properly, if they can attack the zone reads, inside outside zones, the way that they should, I think they'll be okay.
I don't know about you, but that week one drive where Deshaun Watson slid in or jumped in for the touchdown, I think my heart stopped for a minute there when he wouldn't get up for a second. I don't know about you, but that was scary. I love his running ability is great, but dear Lord, that was terrifying.
Yeah, he doesn't like to slide, man. It's not a quarterback that likes to slide or get down. Which can pose a problem. I think Chris Clark and I were having that conversation the other day, and you know, we said Deshaun needs to. That was one of the reasons I was saying, excuse me, that he needs to start negotiating this contract now. For two reasons: A, because protecting doesn't look that well, and B, because he doesn't like to slide. So you know, let's try to get that money as quick as we possibly can. But you know, ultimately, I think that you know he's just a competitor. You know, he's one of those quarterbacks that wants to win, and sliding wasn't an option for him. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. But I think he's going to pull through this game for him. I pick him every week just because I'm confident in him. But I do think this week they will pull out a W.
I certainly hope so, and I think it's safe to say I think everyone agrees that's listening about Deshaun Watson that we love that competitive side in him. Let's be honest. Now, one of the changes we've got coming up this week, it's an interesting one. Brian Anger has been brought back in by the Texans to replace Trevor Daniel, who they waived yesterday, second-year punter. What are your thoughts on the decision after just 2 weeks into the season?
You know, special teams it plays an important role. I'll be frank, I don't know much about Brian Anger. I haven't looked at him too much. But I do think that, you know, if the coaches feel comfortable with him, well, I want to see Bill O'Brien does, but, you know, cause we don't really know where he's at his GM. But, you know, I think that if they can, if he just does what he's supposed to do, you know, which punters, kickers, I feel like, hey, just do your job. You have one job. you know, if he can do his job, I think they'll be okay on special teams.
No, and I've got to say, I had a closer look at this decision yesterday, and for me, it's the right one. Trevor Daniel, as decent as he was towards the end of last year, these last couple games, he's not shown a consistently big leg at all. And in that Jacksonville game in particular, it really hurt the Texans. He was pinning the Jags back too deep. It wasn't helping the Texans whatsoever. And he's not been able to get them pinned into the 20 consistently. So I think it's a big good decision because Brian Anger's proven he's got a bigger leg. But something that another interesting point that this sort of move brings up is that. So obviously we saw Sontra Henderson struggled week one. They dropped him week two. And then after that week two game, we heard that the Texans had actually been working out some offensive tackles. Look at week one, Aaron Colvin had a poor game. They waive him after week one, bring in Philip Gaines, and then change up the backfield a bit. This very decisive and sort of cutthroat approach that Bill O'Brien seems to be bringing, from what I can tell, is extremely different from, let's say, how Rick Smith and particularly Brian Gain were as GMs. How do you feel about this approach to it?
I said, let's just be frank. It's a Belichick style, you know, and I've not seen anybody have success with it outside of Belichick. So I'm okay with it. If you're basically saying I can bring a player in and I can't develop this guy, doesn't matter what happens, then make that move if that's what you need to do. But you need to start being more conscientious about the decisions that you make and who you bring in. So I'm not opposed to GMs or Bill at this instance making the decisions that he needs to. It's just, if you're going to bring somebody in, then develop them, you know, if that's what you're bringing them in for. If you're bringing them in for them to perform immediately, then you need to start checking your decisions at the door.
And that's something I believe we talked about when I was down with you guys, was the fact that if you really look at it, we were talking about the offensive line at the time. Apart from Roderick Johnson, the Texans haven't really developed any offensive linemen in Bill O'Brien's tenure and with Mike Devlin as the offensive coordinator. That's something they're going to have to look at, surely.
Right. The beginning of the preseason, you said Matt Khalil was your left tackle starter. Then you go out and make a big move like you did, trying to get rid of Jadeveon Clowney, then bringing in Laremy Tunsil. So, you know, where are you at? Can you develop talent? If you can, great. Start bringing in guys and let's develop them. If you can't, which you're kind of saying you can't because you're making these cutthroat decisions and moves, then don't. Stop. You know, you need to start checking your evaluation process a little bit more and figuring out who you can and can't bring in.
Certainly. So overall, so far, now that we've had a little while to actually watch O'Brien as the sort of de facto GM, are you on board with this decision to have him have so much power, or are you still a bit unsure?
I don't have a problem with, I mean, two parts to it. I don't have a problem with it if you're doing a good job at it. I have a problem with it when it's showing that it's not working. And it's too early in the season to say that it's not working. But I will say that I'm not a huge fan of the way that you handled the Jadeveon Clowney situation. Right? I'm not a fan of the way that you traded away all the picks that you did for Laremy Tunsil. So, you know, if you can pull off a deep playoff appearance this year and obviously get to the Super Bowl this year or next year and improve and it pays off dividends for you, then you look like a genius. But right now, I'm not a fan of it.
Absolutely. And I think there are a lot of fans out there that would certainly agree with that sentiment there. And personally, I'm not too sure myself. I like the fact he's being a bit more cutthroat. But again, it's a bit too early to really decide on that, I suppose. So to close out my podcast, I always like to throw off my guests just a little bit where I can. So here's a bit of a random question for you. We heard this All week right. that SoFi are in talks with the naming rights for the new LA Stadium, which got me thinking. If you could rename the NRG Stadium, what would you name it and why?
If we could rename the NRG Stadium?
Yes, and it doesn't have to be after a brand or anything like that. It's completely up to you.
Oh, man. I'll be frank. I was kind of a fan of the Bang Brothers Coliseum that they were trying to put down there in Miami. I'd be open for them coming down to Houston and doing it too. It'd be pretty hilarious to see them do it here. But if not, then I'd probably name the stadium my company name, which is Nine Innovations. So I'd probably roll that way selfishly.
Fair enough. There we go. Abdul, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. Thank you very much for joining us on the show. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
At Abdul Foster 9 on Twitter, at Abdul Foster on Instagram, and Abdul Foster on Facebook.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've been your host of the week, Anthony Wood. Follow me on Twitter at ARWoodNFL. And of course, keep up to date with everything Texans at the Texans Wire of USA Today. Thank you very much for listening.